Okay, thank you. We're back in session. Let me go back to Peter Stein. Well, it'd be great if he were here. We have Resolution O in your packet.
What?
Sorry. This one.
Where are we here?
Resolution O.
Resolution O. Thank you. Resolution O, appropriation from contingent fund to replace sheriff's department vehicles with more fuel-efficient models. And I will move that.
Second by Dave.
And are there any questions?
Pam.
Well, I just really appreciate the fact that that we are buying American cars. Mm-hmm. I know not all American cars are made totally in the United States, but the Ford, these are good cars that we're buying, and I really appreciate that we are buying American.
All right. All in favor, Resolution O, please raise your hand. Well, put your hands down. It's a short roll call. I'm sorry.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Proda?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Resolution P. Peter?
Resolution P? Yes.
I'm sorry. You know what?
No, that's out of Health and Human Services.
My mistake. That goes to Frank.
Hey, can I ask you a question, Martha? I've wondered about this every single time I hear it. What is the short roll call? What is it done for?
For spending, spending out of the contingent fund, basically. You see. So that's why I should have gotten it by now without...
It's in the rules of...
That's all it is?
It's in the rules of the legislation of what resolutions require roll calls. And short roll calls are acceptable.
All right, okay.
Okay. Resolution P, Frank Proto, Chair of Health and Human Services.
Could I clean up...
Could you move your microphone over?
Could I clean up the one we took off the consent agenda first, because it's simply a cleaning up the title.
Okay. D?
No. Resolution...
I'm sorry. H. H. Okay. Go ahead.
I'd like to move Resolution H, ID 3629. The current wording is acceptance of grant from... the fiscal year 2012 Drug-Free Communities Support Program for Mentoring by the Community Coalition for Healthy Youth of the Schuyler County Commission on Underage Drinking and Drugs.
Can you move
a second?
I thought you were going to change the wording.
Yeah, I just want to change the title to... acceptance of grant from the fiscal year 2012 Drug-Free Communities Support Program to enable the Community Coalition for Healthy Youth to mentor the Schuyler County Commission on Underage Drinking and Drugs.
All right, that's the motion. You're not sure now.
It sounds like you're mentoring the Schuyler County Commission on Underage Drinking and Drugs.
Okay. I saw Pat raise her hand for a second, right?
Okay.
Okay. So it's second by Pat. You have a question, Pam?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, go to vote.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution H, will that change? Please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Okay.
Okay.
Back to
Resolution P now.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to introduce Resolution P. As the committee passed it, urging New York State to ban the manufacture, distribution, sale, and possession of dangerous, unregulated synthetic drugs. And I'll move that.
Seconded by Pat.
There have been two or three suggested substitute resolutions, and I'll let each person that submitted them talk about it. Before, if you have any doubt about whether you want to support this or not, regardless of what form it's in, because I think they all draw the same conclusion, that we want to enforce and add some teeth to the state's regs. I want to pass around some samples of what was found in DeWitt Park. In case you've never seen a package that contained bath salts or anything else, I would appreciate it if you wouldn't take them out of the package, because I need to give them to the sheriff. But, and you don't want your fingerprints on them. But if you want to take a look at them, go ahead.
Frank, are you trying to get me in trouble?
You trying to get me arrested?
I think I can. Thank you, Frank. Brian, and then Peter.
Do you realize you could be arrested?
Yeah. My fingerprints aren't on those packages.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Peter.
Not yet. We haven't passed this. Anyway, I would like to move a substitute motion for Frank's motion, which is has been passed around, possible substitute submitted by Legislator Stein, which I believe has the same title.
It's in your folder.
Urging resolution New York State to ban the manufacture, distribution, sale, and possession of dangerously unregulated synthetic drugs. And
okay, you know, I'm gonna have to separate you boys in this corner.
He's trying to get me in trouble.
It speaks to something from earlier, but we'll forget that.
All right. Keep going, Peter.
If it's second, I'd like to speak to it.
Is there a second for Peter's substitute? Mike seconds that.
Okay. Both of these resolutions derive from a NYSAC resolution, which addresses the problem that we all know, we've all heard about several times, our sheriff has talked to us about it, of these drugs which are not illegal because they're clever chemical versions, somewhat different and probably somewhat more lethal, as near as I can tell, than the drugs that they're substituting for. NYSAC had a resolution that they were considering and came to us before several months ago. And the my substitute motion is what NYSAC did with that original resolution. They improved it at our last meeting, and what I am asking you to substitute for it is the resolution that NYSAC is asking all counties to send to the state legislature, asking them to act. There were certain errors that were in the original resolution, and I'd be happy to go through all of them, but it says essentially the same thing. It says that there are these two classes of synthetic drugs which are circulating throughout the state, and they want to have them declared to be against the law so that we locally can enforce that, so that we can legally charge people with crimes for selling them. So that's really all I have to say. I'd be happy to try to discuss each one of the changes that were made.
Okay.
But I think it's important that that we all send the same resolution to the legislature rather than individual versions.
And just to follow up that introduction, I was in a meeting at NYSAC of executives and county chairs and administrators, and we had a long presentation about this whole drug issue, and it does seem like taking out specific legislation is probably a better way to go because there's a sense that they just want to urge state government to get going and to do something as quickly as possible. So that's really the intention here. And we have Sheriff Lansing and Sergeant Van here if there are any questions about the substance of all this. So I think I saw Jim and then Frank.
Okay. My question is, has the state legislature passed a law yet?
No.
No. The answer is no.
The state health department has done so, but
that's a regulation.
A regulation. State legislature has not.
Frank, Dooley, and Carol.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I want to draw your attention to a memo that we asked at the Health Committee that Frank Krupa submit. It was in your packets clarifies both of the legislation from the Senate as well as the Assembly. Madam Chair, if having heard the discussion, I wanted to give Peter a chance to present the alternate resolution. Is it, may I accept his resolution on behalf of the committee as friendly?
I think so. Yes.
Mover and seconder?
Yeah. And the seconder was...
Is that okay with you? I think it was Pat.
Okay.
Then
okay,
I'd
great.
Like to accept that as friendly. Thanks,
all right,
Peter.
So Peter's is what's on the table now. I've got Dooley, Carol, Pam, and then Brian and Pat.
Well, I wasn't going to prepare anything until I read Peter's version, which really refers in the very first whereas to the phenylethylamines, which are not the same as substituted cathinones or cannabinoids. So I didn't understand why this change. Phenylethylamines are they're psychoactive, they're stimulants, but they clear the nervous system. Their half-life is 5 minutes. And you can get a brief high with them, but I don't think that's what we're talking about here. I think I looked at Frank Krupa's memo and took seriously his clarifying attention to cannabinoids and substituted cathinones. And I think that's what we are supposed to be addressing. So that's what's prompted me to do yet another version of the resolution, Frank. And although it got emailed, I believe, to you and to Peter, you didn't have it in time to read it before this meeting. I also, in doing additional research, learned and have added in my proposed substitute resolution facts from the, the State the Council of State Legislatures, which keeps track of what all state legislatures are doing. And so I learned that 41 states have legislatively banned cannabinoids. 42 states have outlawed substituted cathinones. I think adding that information into the resolution should give added impetus to have our state finally act. So I would offer my substitute resolution to you, Frank, in place of Peter's, because it's more comprehensive. It's not limited to phenylethylamines.
If I could ask the sheriff or the sergeant to if you could talk about, because I haven't heard phenylethylamines talked about in this context, and I don't. Do you have anything to add about these substances?
I personally never heard of that. That's new to me. The synthetic cathinone,
cannabinoid,
K2 spice, as they would put it, is the only two things that we see relative to our job. The other, what you discussed, I'm not really sure what it is, to be honest with you. So.
Okay.
Could I add one more thing about phenylethylamines? It's called PEA. And it's the ingredient in chocolate that makes you feel good. It's really not the drug that I think our law enforcement people are worried about.
Okay. All right, so the question is to Frank, would you accept Dooley's, I guess?
Well, Madam Chair, the concern that I have is we've accepted the NYSEC version of the resolution that Peter brought back. And while Dooley's may be more comprehensive, since Frank Krupa, who is in Albany at this time, I would suggest, with all due respect to Dooley, that we stick with the NYSAC version, because we know that that has been passed or has been vetted among other counties, and that we could always send an amended version when upon return of Frank, but I respect the fact that the law enforcement has had a question about it as well. Not a negative one, just we've never heard of this before. So I'd like to err on the side of caution a little bit and stay with the one that we know. So, Dooley, please don't get angry with me.
I'm not angry with you. I'm sad.
Okay. I've got Carol, Pam, Brian, Pat, Leslin, and Peter. I think we'll sort this out in a second. So, but if I can ask Peter, where did you get phenyl ethyl amines? Came from NYSAC?
Yes or no?
It's just
I was about to say, I don't think there's a single person in this room who knows anything about this. But one, they know more, a little more than the rest of us. But I did call NYSAC and said, these words are new or something. Has this been vetted by people who understand that? And they said, absolutely. Okay. So that's my authority.
Okay. Carol, Pam, Brian, Pat, Leslin, and Peter, if you want to go.
You can take me off the list.
Okay.
I'm not sure what to do about this because, from the reading that I have done about the whole issue of synthetic substances that are being created, they're being created to stay one step ahead of the law because cannabis, the herbal substance, is not legal. And that regardless of what big words we put in here, whatever New York State passes, my understanding is that the drug trade is creating new synthetic substances as states pass these laws to stay a step ahead of the law. So I'm not understanding how it just seems to me that trying to do it this way puts a Band-Aid on and that that we're not going to get at the root of the problem with this whole approach of trying to ban each of these little packets as they come up rather than getting at the root of the problem, which is that they're all being created to create synthetic ways of getting high because marijuana is not legal. So I don't think that and we can argue about which of the technical names to use, and a few months from now, if we ban today's technical substitution, there'll be another one. So if you have any suggestions about how we get at the root of that problem, I'd appreciate hearing it.
I agree with you 100%. Right now, New York State passed about 13 analog drugs or cathinone drugs to what you guys are talking about. However, the people that are producing and distributing and packaging this stuff in the U.S. are, again, one step ahead of the state. They recognize this modification to this chemical is made illegal, so they change the chemical a different way. And they get the same high from it, and they can sell it legally and possess it legal in New York State. There's got to be really a generic law that says the possession. If they go after the individual chemical compound,
right,
they're just going to stay one step ahead and keep.
Well, the way I read the second whereas, that really, I'm trying to move this along. The way I read the second whereas and the resolved, the first resolved, the second whereas says these drugs are specifically synthesized with a similar but slightly modified structure in order to avoid laws and can be continually modified to avoid legal repercussions. The resolve says that we need meaningful and effective legislation criminalizing the manufacture, distribution, sale, and possession of these substances and their future derivatives.
Right.
We are not going to get the list in this. My question to myself is this intent clear that Tompkins County wants New York State to get going? I think the answer to that is yes, and I'm going to see if we can move along and we have to come back. So I've got Pam is next.
Well, I think that passing a resolution in support of some action is a good idea, but I think passing a resolution, when it by the time it's passed, for us to have the exact right substance is in here isn't what's critical. And in fact, I don't know why don't we just take them out? Because if there's some question about the phenethylamine. Thank you. You know, even being one of these drugs now, or certainly you hadn't heard of them, right? No. So why we would put that in there, I don't know. I mean, these are our law enforcement people in Tompkins County. So to me, it just seems that we should just put in what the first whereas was in the original resolution.
The original resolution. So is that a motion, Pam?
Sure. I'll make that. I'll move that the first whereas in the original resolution be substituted for. Well, actually, substituted for the Stein revision and the Kiefer revision, whichever one we're using, and that all references to specifics of these. Not be included, but we're talking about designer drugs, we're talking about bath salts, in whatever form they are. I mean, we are not required by law to have this exact right language, because we are just doing this as a resolution to encourage the state legislature to do something about this problem. So I don't think we need to spend a huge amount of time on this.
Could you repeat your motion?
No.
All right. I think what Pam was saying is that if you go back to the first motion, first resolution, it should say, whereas the sale and use of synthetic designer drugs, known commonly as bath salts, continues to increase among individuals in our communities. So the motion is to substitute that whereas for the first one in Peter's resolution.
In Peter's.
Okay. Is there a second for that? A second. All right, I could ask if that. I'm not even sure whose motion. Is this yours? It's yours, Frank. Is that acceptable to you?
No.
Is that friendly? No. Okay.
No.
So we got a mover and Leslie in second. All right. I still have a list, so I'm going to go through the list. And
so we're only discussing the first whereas.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I wanted to
do. So it has to be a new list because we're discussing something different.
Okay, it's a new list. All right. So I got Dooley, Pat, Peter, Brian.
Yo.
Is that your hand up?
What?
Yeah, Lethman had her hand up a long time ago.
Okay, sorry.
We're still discussing the same resolution.
Same topic.
You know what? I've got a list. And almost everybody's on it. So you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. I got Brian, Pat, Leslin, Dooley, and anybody else who else wants to be after Dooley. Carol. Okay? Brian's next.
Thank you. You make a good point, Pam. We are not passing a law here in Tompkins County. We're simply encouraging the state of New York to get going and pass something. It boggles me sometimes why we have to have the Tompkins County spin on every resolution that we forward to the state. This has been suggested to us by NYSAC that we send a consistent message saying, guys, you need to get going. Probably the most important thing in all of this, which kind of speaks to staying one step ahead, or actually staying one step behind the manufacturers of all this, is in the first resolve where it speaks to possess these substances or their future derivatives, which is actually in the public health law. It's a schedule in the public health law, which is constantly being updated. And you're never going to be able to write a law. I don't care if you use words that big or this big. It doesn't matter. You're not going to be able to keep up with that for these purposes. And I don't know, for the life of me, I don't know why we can't just say, let's be consistent with everyone else and just send it. It really boggles my mind.
I think we're present at the creation of a new concept, the Tompkins County spin. So, all right, Pat, then Les Landulli.
I would like to express my agreement for the remarks that Brian just made. I think we have here an opportunity to do something that... I'm speaking.
Oh, no, get louder.
Okay. Sorry. I think we have an opportunity here to pass something that has passed muster with some of our NYSAC colleagues, and it looks to me as if it includes language that speaks to future derivatives, and I agree with Brian. I think we ought to just go ahead and pass it with one caveat that I would like to ask if we have a healthy planning council in the second whereas from the bottom on page one in the substitution by legislator Stein at the end of the line. Whereas it's Tompkins County applauds the Commissioner of Health and Public Health and Healthy Planning Council.
Health Planning Council.
It's not health, it's healthy? Okay.
Is it healthy or health?
It's just health planning.
Okay.
Health Planning Council? Kathy,
yeah, I'll check on it.
Thank she'll you. Check on that. That's a manifest error one way or the other. Okay.
Right.
Friendly. All right, Kathy will check and make it correct. Leslin?
So... we made our law enforcement folks stay here for this resolution, and what I'm hearing from them is cannabinoids and cathinones are the things they are most commonly aware with, what they deal with, what they see on the streets, never even heard about the phenethylamines. I don't mind if we pass a resolution that includes that. I appreciate Pam's language, and what I was going to offer is why can't we just, for example, the fennel, whatever it is, the cannabinoids and the cathinones, why can't we, in that phrase, whereas that you have, just say, including these? And that will cover all of it and keep the rest of the resolution as is.
Okay. Okay. You talk, we have, what's on the table is Peter's resolution, and you're saying, and then what's on top of that is the first whereas, the first two lines of the original committee's resolution.
Right.
You want to add synthetic cannabinoids and...
Right.
And
such as or including...
Right. I mean, you can keep the original whereas if you want to put in what Leslin is suggesting. If Peter's... In Peter Stein's first whereas, I would it be fine with including that long word there, and if you also just put in the cannabinoids and the whatever one.
So if
just
we said where
examples of what we're talking
examples,
about.
That's right.
So if we said where's the sale and abuse of synthetic phenethylamines, comma, synthetic cannabinoids, comma, and synthetic cathinones,
you
comma.
Say of, for example. You say abuse of, for example.
Synthetic designer drugs, for example.
Yes. Yes.
Well, this is so committee work, but I'm determined that we get through this.
We could wait for Kay Cruiser to come back.
No, we're going to do this.
I mean, the other thing, I mean, I hear what everybody says about what, but NYSAC, we don't always agree with everything that NYSAC passes. No. We don't always just, you know, rubber stamp everything. There are things that we change, and that's based on the experiences that we have in our county as well. So that's just a suggestion, and
okay.
The rest of it could stand, and we just move and pass this bad boy.
That's good.
Where would you put, Leslin, where would you put cannabinoids and cathinones in that, and which whereas are you working with?
The first one.
In,
whereas
in
the sale and use of the very first one in the original resolution
okay.
that Pam had suggested,
right.
whereas the sale and use of synthetic designer drugs, commonly known as bath salts, designer drugs such as Philly horses,
phenethylamines, comma, synthetic cannabinoids, comma, synthetic cathinones,
right,
comma,
right.
known
okay.
commonly as
bath salts. Continues to increase among individuals. That's all I'm saying we do.
Okay.
Now,
that's fine.
The rest of people's resolution.
I like that.
And it's actually, Frank, you got to accept this. This is right up your alley.
Yeah, please.
Why don't I just accept, if you read the substitute resolution's first whereas, it's almost the same thing as what
it is.
What Lesson just suggested with those additions of the cannabinoids.
So you're okay with what Lesson suggested?
I'm okay with Lessons as a friendly.
Great. Who was the original seconder? Who's it, Pat?
Pat is.
Are you
going to call the question?
No, I'm not.
Pat says yes. Okay. What Lesson said is now the first whereas, and I have Dooley, Carol, and Jim.
Saying that all of those things are known commonly as bath salts, that's not true. Bath salts refers to the cathinones. The cannabinoids are known as fake weed and other things. But if you're going to use a term like bath salts, you should add fake weed.
I'm going to look to my experts in the back of the room. Are they all commonly known as bath salts, or now I got to put fake weed up in here?
The reason why they're known as bath salts, they have nothing to do with the salt that you put in.
Right.
Plant food, bong cleaner, it's a generic term of bath salts that they sell them as because they can't sell them for drugs. They have to sell them as something else. So bath salt is the most common term that people use to associate. But they're sold as plant cleaner or plant food, bong cleaner, anything of that nature is what they're sold for. So
does bath salts cover these three categories that we're struggling with?
Synthetic cathinone would be the best word to cover it. An example would be bath salts or plant.
So that is right.
Okay,
so wrong.
Take out synthetic designer drugs and say synthetic cathinones.
All right.
Who y'all?
Or synthetic designer drugs, parentheses, cathinones.
I think we were closer. Before.
Inaccurate, but closer.
All right. I'm not sure it matters if we are accurate by the letter of the chemistry, you know.
No.
Okay. I've got Carol, Jim, Peter.
Trying to move us along.
Yeah, I just wanted the opportunity for a follow-up question. I'm sorry. I can't remember your name.
Sergeant.
Jamie. Yeah, oh, Jamie. Wait, you're the one who rescued me, right?
Could
out
be.
On the lake.
We're going to have to hear that story later. Later,
no,
we need that story.
This guy is great. He was so incredible. You were like my hero.
Carol, stick to the
Well, he was my hero. He refused to be acknowledged. I just wanted to follow up. I appreciate your answer to my question. You referred to the fact that kids are using these drugs to get a similar effect and getting the similar effect to marijuana.
Yep.
My understanding is that the effect of these drugs is worse than marijuana, that you're seeing bigger problems from that than you were ever seeing from kids who were smoking marijuana.
It's around, they say, about 10 times more potent than THC, which THC, as you know, is the additive in marijuana that makes people get the high that they get. But the K2 spice, or synthetic cannabinoid, or however you say it or pronounce it, is actually depends on what the people, the distributors want to make it. They can make any kind of drug mocking K2 spice that they want to make. So it all depends on really what the manufacturer wants to put on the leafy material that they spray with this drug. So typically it's more of a THC type drug, but it's about 10 times more potent, right around.
Okay, well, thank you. I just wanted to get that on the record and not have a misunderstanding that this is the same thing. I think this is a lot worse, and I still think that none of these revisions that are being talked about get at the root problem, which is that is that kids are looking for a substitute for something that wasn't as dangerous as what they're now substituting. And so I don't know that I can support this, any of them.
Jim?
Number one, I agree with Pam, what she said half a day ago, and Brian, that it the reason we can't pass anything is because it makes sense, And three, there's a lot of negative energy in the room, and Ithaca is particularly known for that. And I think Tompkins County, that's why we do what we do. It's not good enough what they do in Yates County or Portland County, but it's way better than what when we do it. But in fact, it's a negative thing that we're doing because we never get to the point. And I think passing the drugs among us has had a dramatic effect. And I'm also in the file analysis, I'm just amazed at how much Dooley Kiefer knows about this. And at that point, I'm just going to rest my case and pray to the Lord that we could vote on this resolution.
Okay, I got Peter, Frank, and Mike.
Yeah, let me call them. Well, look. None of us are organic chemists sitting around this room. I believe there must have been a reason, and I'm sure that some organic chemists did see this resolution when it came out of NYSAC, and I believe there was a reason why the word cannanones, which I never heard of before, was replaced to be cannabinoids. And my own guess is that cannabinoids is the cathinones are one of a kind of drug called cannabinoids, and that they've made it a larger group. I can't believe that us amateurs here know more about this problem than the people who wrote this resolution. And so I'm sorry, Pam, I can't believe it. And so I would urge people to stick with the wording as close as you possibly can to the original resolution, particularly when talking about the names of chemicals.
Okay. Okay. Frank, Mike, Will, Leslie, and I'd like to say something.
Martha, can we ask Kathy to read the version of the first, we're still talking about the first whereas, folks. Can we ask Kathy to read what it is that we've agreed upon? Oh, I think we have.
I don't think I can pronounce some of those words.
That's okay. Take a shot.
The first whereas reads, the sale and use of synthetic designer drugs such as
phenylamines.
Okay.
Synthetic cannabinoids.
Cannabinoids.
Synthetic cathinones, known commonly as bath salts, continues to increase among individuals in our communities.
Thank you.
And other than that, it's Peter's substitute.
It's the substitute resolution. And the key, remember, these are just the whereases. The key is the first resolve. I think since I've spoken, I can't move to call the question, right?
That's
will
right.
Someone, could I convince someone to call the question?
Mike?
I'd like to call the question.
Is there a second? Second by Jim. All in favor of calling the question? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The question is called 9 to 5.
This is on the first whereas.
No, that was.
I accepted it as friendly.
We beat each other into submission on that. I think we've
got
an agreement on the first. This is on the whole thing, as with that change, and using Peter's resolution. Okay, ready to vote? All in favor of resolution P with that change? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. Passes 11 to 3. All right.
Thank you all.
I'm going to be speaking in cannabinoids.
If you want to have further conversation about it, you can probably go to the ale house later, but I think we're finished on that topic. So,
I would like to ask the clerk in her transmission letter, as we're asking her in the final resolve, to include the facts from the State Legislative Council's website that 41 states and 42 states have already acted. the language is in my draft resolution. I'd like to ask that that be included in our cover letter.
Is that acceptable? Okay. All right. A sheriff and sergeant, is there anything else you'd want to say? I think you're welcome to go. If that's, unless you want
to
add
something real quick, not to take up some more time, but I think what we've all just experienced here with all the frustration, exactly what the agencies that are trying to make this illegal so we can arrest people for. There are so many different concepts that go on here with the ingredients and stuff. Something I can tell you on a good note, I know personally because I've just talked to some state enforcers, they are really going after heavily on the sellers, and they've been successful in doing that. But obviously we do need something on the street that the smaller agencies can work with to deter the people that are using it. Because it does, Carol, create a real problem. I've been working with a hospital since this drug came to here with the emergency room because of the the extra strain it's put on them. The extra strain it's put on our corrections people. We've had them in the jail. I walked in one morning on a Sunday, and I saw a guy in there, and I knew right away that the corrections people didn't. James has just been the training just only 2 months ago, and he's not heard some of the things that we talked about. So you just did yourself your own exercise and the frustration of what this drug is bringing besides the tragedy. That said, I thank you very much for your time.
Right, thank you very much. Take Frank's drugs with you.
You don't get to walk away that easy.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, hit me over later on, Frank.
I'm going to take your horse park. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll put that down in the complaint. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Well, as far as I can tell, we're going to start our committee reports now.
No.
I'm pretty sure this spirit in the room is for short and sweet. So I'm going to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Yes. My first item is a request that I note that Facilities and Infrastructure Committee was listed first on the agenda to report tonight. And since we are just getting to us, I'd like to request that we get another shot because usually we're way down on the agenda.
There's a set rotation.
Okay. I'll just give a report first because I think I still have a resolution that got pulled off by somebody,
yeah.
Right?
See.
You want me to do that one first?
Go ahead.
That is resolution D. Authorization to enter into a 5-year lease agreement for the Tompkins County Human Rights Commission, and I so move.
Seconded by Frank. Leslie, you had a question?
Yeah, Carol, I pulled this off because usually when I see resolutions like this, there is, and I was in the facilities and instructor, there's a dollar amount somewhere in here on what our agreement is, and I didn't see that, so I was wondering if there was a reason if we can have it.
Joe, can I refer this to you?
There was a memo that went to the committee. I don't see it in the packet here. Leslie, I can't remember the amount of the rent. I do know that there was a single bump in rent that occurs in the first year. Do you have it?
Yeah.
It's a 4% increase, and then it flattens out for the balance of the 5-year term. Mm-hmm. Importantly, because everything is still in play with respect to space, if we find we want to get out of the lease, we can with 6 months' notice, so we have that latitude. And then Julie has the
I think record. Julie has the answer.
We asked that the dollar amount be in the resolved, and I'm sorry that it didn't get there. So it is, as Joe described, $26,937 a year, which is an increase of $1,036.08 from the present amount. So there's an increase for year one, and for years 2 through 5, there are no more increases.
An increase of 1,000 what?
$36.08 from what it is now. So in year one, there's that increase to the number I gave you, $26,937, which then remains the same for the balance of this. And relevant to what Joe said about things are in play, it has for the county a 6-month escape clause. We can get out with 6 months' notice.
The other thing, and just because it's record, we're passing this, that I thought most of the times we will have who we're entering the lease agreements with, and I didn't see that either.
I don't have the name
of
the landlord.
But it's the same landlord. But you're right. It would be good to have that in there.
Right. Okay. So I'll be fine with it if we can make sure that that information is reflected somewhere.
Kathy, can you so not to worry about the wording? Can you put that into a note at the bottom?
Yeah, explanation on the bottom, the dollar amount, and who the lease agreement is with. Thank you. That was it.
Okay, thank you. All in favor of Resolution D? Please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you.
So I believe that is all our resolutions. You have heard about shoulder coloring. You have heard about why we had to withdraw. The other resolution, we had a very, we met on September 7th. Dooley actually, as vice chair, chaired it. I participated remotely by Skype, which was interesting. I'll talk about that in a minute. We had an interesting and lengthy discussion with two representatives from Labella, who are our consultants on the road preservation implementation phase. They had not quite completed, but now since then have submitted a document with suggestions as to the project administration of the implementation process. The forms that we'll use and that we'll ask developers to fill out and ask our towns to require before they issue building permits. And I think, you know, we seem inclined to accept those, their recommendations on those things, but we haven't done so yet. And then there are decisions that we need to make about the road assessment methodology. There are more or less expensive methodologies one can use depending on the size of the project, and they seem to be recommending using the less expensive methodology, which is observation and easier techniques to assess the conditions of the roads for smaller roads. And bringing in expensive equipment, and there was a name to that piece of expensive equipment that I don't remember that Dooley might.
Deflectometer?
Yeah. Okay. Which would have to be rented or purchased at great expense, that bringing that in situations that warrant a closer look. And I think that the committee seemed inclined to accept that recommendation, but again, it remains to be seen. If you are interested in that report, the committee got copies of the report, the final version, I think after the meeting, and those, if anybody would like to request a copy of that, you can do so. Pine Tree Road, we had a discussion about the potential scope and cost of a study that will help us determine ways to mitigate traffic and address some of the concerns of the neighbors on that road. And our staff are going to take that back and come up with a plan that both can be done, a study that can be done at a reasonable cost, but that will give us some good information. And then I'll just give a little bit of a report on the experience of participating in the meeting remotely. I think it had its pluses and minuses. I think that, as with any technology, the setup in advance was very important. Joe and I thought we had practiced it and made it work from Joe's office. We had a little bit more trouble getting it to work from the conference room. I think there was probably not as much difference to those of you in the room as there was to the person participating remotely. It was important for me to be part of this because of the discussion with the consultant that was reporting to us on the results of months and months of work, and I wanted to be able to ask questions. Being able to see him and then the slides that they were showing, which they hadn't made available in advance, I think was really helpful, and then being able to see the documents that they brought along
So that made a big difference to me. I don't know if it made as much of a difference to those of you in the room who then, you know, weren't really looking at the little screen to see me participating in the meeting. So it's interesting. It did give me some perspective on the decisions we have to make on the new our new legislative chambers and the ways in which this technology, I think, is going to be part of our lives in the future. And so it will be important for us to get this right. So. Other than that, you've, I think, seen all the resolutions that we acted upon.
Thank you, Carol. Any questions? I'm a little confused about the road measurement issue. Are you saying that the idea is to use the cheaper way of studying the road after it's been impacted?
No. This is the methodology that would be used both before and after to determine what kind of damage there's been to the road. So a road where it's really obvious what the condition is, they're recommending that, you know, if it's obvious that you're starting out with a road that's mottled and damaged, if it's obvious that you're starting out with a road that's in really good shape, if it's obvious you're starting out with a dirt road, there's not an, I think, as I understood, and Joe can probably elaborate upon this, there's not a need to bring in the heavy, expensive equipment. In cases where you'll have, there's a portion of road that many people use, and that you've got to assess how much damage is being done by this particular user of the road, at that point, you need a fine-tuned assessment. But
yeah, that
go ahead.
That's really it. And in their report, they had a matrix, and the matrix was kind of on the two axes were the intensity of use and the condition of the road. And so they go from some applications, as Carol said, where they really don't need to do the sophisticated stuff, to other areas where they're going to want to because it's high intensity and it's a road where you really want to know. It's the impact is not going to be visible on the surface of the road. Something is going on underneath that surface, so you're going to want to test it carefully. So it's really it's kind of a cost-effective balance of approaches. And we can share the Carol's right, there's a report that we can share with the entire legislature.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You know what? Can I add one thing? So we did get a report on the Henshaw Road project, and Jeff Smith reported that the consultant schedule has been submitted within that week. So by now we should have greater than 95% completion of the plans for Henshaw Road with a final plan target date of November 16th. And the contract, he believes, will be awarded for construction to begin in early March.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
We're going to meet tomorrow at 3:30. And we're going to be discussing. I can't talk all of a sudden. We'll be discussing the progress on the renovation of the Human Services Building, and we'll be seeing some figures on the move to the old courthouse by the legislature. We'll be looking at the 20-year capital plan again and the updates on that and what we can report back to the Budget Committee for money we're going to be needing in the future. We'll also be talking about our continuing effort to try to find new digs for the criminal justice programs.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions? And now we're back meeting in the old jail, right?
We're back to the old jail.
Okay, good. All right, thank you. Government Operations Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Chair.
We met on September 14th, last Friday. We had to okay five sets of independent redistricting commission minutes. We had a motion to acknowledge and accept their existence. We couldn't approve them. They had not voted on them, although we were assured that they did not have any problems with the wording of the minutes. So we took care of their sets of minutes. We passed a resolution expressing appreciation to and disbanding the Independent Redistricting Commission. That will come to the next legislative meeting. We heard from the History Center a status update, and
their look toward their future. They are a repository for historical objects, not just for the county, but also county government, which is our particular interest in their survival. And they have been important to us, and we have agreement with them to support them financially through 2013. Our level of support mostly pays for their rent, Gateway, and their lease at the Gateway is until 2017. We heard from the ITS director, Greg Potter, the status of his department and a look forward, and he has a lot of issues that need dealing with, and I won't go into those now, but you'll get some sense of them at budget time. We discussed how to include budget information on the tax bill. There is a proposed pie chart that can be added, and that will come back again for approval after we gave a lot of feedback to Irene Kehoe, who was there in place of Jay Franklin. And we had a couple of items from the administrative policy manual. We approved change in the oaths of office policy, which simply added more people who are required to be given an oath of office. And we began discussion of a policy on county-owned vehicles, but that will have to be continued. The last thing I want to say is we agreed that we needed another special meeting to deal with the Code of Ethics. And so, committee members, you have received an email giving you times on September 21st, 25th, and 26th. And Pat and Peter and Pam, you haven't replied yet. And Jonathan, we need to know if you can come. So if you would all just please respond to that email, that would be great. Thank you.
When was the email sent out, Julie?
A couple of days ago.
Pat?
I haven't seen that email.
Well, then we'll have to ask that it be recent. Karen sent it. Yeah, I got it.
I don't know what happened, but...
Okay, that was from Karen? Okay, we can get that resent. All right, thank you. Any questions? Duly, the modification to the tax bill, that'll come back to the committee. Will that still be in time for this winter's bills?
We can... Yes, it will.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll make it quick. We met on September 5th. We spent a fair amount of time talking about our continuing discussion that had happened at our previous meeting having to do with two documents coming out of the Planning Department. One is the development focus areas, and the other is our conservation strategy. As you may recall, we were scheduled to hear a presentation on that last month or so, and it turned into one of these mega. It was the meeting where we were
redistricting.
So we the staffers who had come to tell us about these very very nicely agreed to come back at another time. The reason I mention it is that this will be coming to this body, and I assume we'll schedule that presentation about the same time. It would be really, really good if you folks could go on our website and just take a peek at those two documents, Development Focus Areas and Conservation Strategy. Prepare questions. If you have anything substantive, shoot them my way or to the appropriate staffer in planning. Secondly, we... spent a fair amount of time talking about the situation with TCAD. I have talked with you all about it before, that we do have a very difficult situation moving forward in terms of their funding. Joe has worked out a strategy for this year, but the long-term situation really, really needs a much more substantive look. And there's been proposed to set up a special task force that would include legislators and a number of key stakeholders. And so we discussed, did this make sense? And we agreed it did. And at our next meeting, we'll be finalizing the makeup of that task force and the specific charge. And finally, one of the fun things if you come to a PDAC is we get our, four times a year we get our quarterly report from Fred Bond and the Convention Business Bureau. And the good news is occupancy rate at our local hotels is up. It's was up by 2.8% this year. The average daily room rate is up at 4.9%. And this, of course, translates in monies that are available for our strategic tourism program. Several projects are underway that are going to increase the number of rooms available locally. You've probably noticed the Fairfield Inn, which is they're doing the groundwork out on Route 13. You may have read about the Holiday Inn project, which will be building a new tower with a convention center. That actually, we learned at our committee, is being delayed. They're going to delay the start date, but it's still moving forward. And finally, there is the Rimland project that is off the commons that is now going to be an Ithaca full-scale Marriott hotel. And that is expected to break ground this fall. At any rate, that's what happened. Our next meeting is October 3rd, and you are all invited. That's my report.
Thank you, Will. Any questions? And we received the hard copy of those two reports. I think Jim's got them on his desk. I know I sit there for budget, the focus area and the conservation strategy.
That's true. That it was actually within our packet last night. Thank you for reminding.
Okay. Thanks, Will. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to let you know that, as I mentioned last time, the governor has made $25 million available in funding for the expansion of rural broadband. And since we learned about that between, 3 to 4 weeks ago, I have contacted all of the Internet service providers here in Tompkins County to find out if they were or are interested in making a proposal through the application process for a project here in Tompkins County. I've been working very closely with Paula, Jonathan, Joe, Greg, Lee, all the people that you could, might think would be involved in this kind of a discussion. And one of the things that we decided, at first we had thought about whether or not the county would be the applicant for some of this funding, but in looking over the grant language very carefully, it seemed to us that it made more sense what they were really looking for were for the Internet providers to be the applicant for the funding, with the county acting as a partner to the Internet providers. So with Jonathan's help, we came up with a letter that could be sent to try to find that out. Another part of the application is asking the applicant, that would be the provider, to determine whether or not there's community support from the term they use is anchor institutions for the application. And so that is part of what we are doing to help with our part of the grant is contacting our local anchor institutions to see if they will send a letter of support for whatever application might be successfully funded here in Tompkins County. So we are not going to be able, or we are not having a regular committee meeting this month, although we're very, very busy working on this. I'm also consulting pretty closely with members of the committee through our listserv as this whole process is going forward. But the county has scheduled one of their budget committee meetings for the night that we usually meet for our broadband committee. So we won't be meeting this month. So our next regular meeting will be the fourth Monday in October.
Thank you very much, Pat. Any questions? Carol?
Yeah, Pat, so do you have any idea whether there are providers in this area looking to apply? And are they falling over each other to apply? I mean, do we have to go through any process of selecting our preferred?
Well, actually, we don't. In answer to your first question, yes, we know that there are providers that are interested, but in looking at it very carefully, what we've decided is that it makes more sense for the state to be the party that will pick from among the various applicants the application that they feel is the one that they want to fund, because it's basically their grant program. So we would be prepared to partner with whichever provider might submit a successful application. And we've been communicating with them. We've been, you know, finding out what it is that they would want from us and trying to help them with, you know, various aspects of it. But I can't say for sure at this point how many applications there might be that would include some part or all of Tompkins County. I don't know how many of them are going to actually follow through, but I expect there will be at least one and possibly more than that.
Right. Okay. Well, if there's any way we can encourage there to be at least one, that would be a shame to have our area not represented.
Oh, I think we will be.
Okay. Thanks very much, Pat. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee.
Let me, Jim,
I'm sorry. I forgot Frank.
Pat, just a quick question. In the funding, some months ago, there was a discussion that there may be an opportunity to access the Universal Fund for some potential funding. Is there a status on that at all?
We haven't heard anything more about that. That would have to come through action that was taken at either the state or the federal level in order to make that available.
Thank you.
There is. You did remind me of one other thing, though, if I may, Martha, that I should mention. There is a matching amount with this grant. It requires a 20% match. But again, we are looking to the providers to come up with probably all of that matching grant. At this point, we're not asking the county for any of that.
Sorry, Frank. Jim.
I have a resolution that we met this afternoon at 5 o'clock, and it's authorizing the use of contingent funds for personnel department laser fiche electronic filing project, and I would move that.
Seconded by Brian.
Which letter is
that? M is in Mary.
M.
And we're asking for the personnel department is asking for $30,000 out of the contingent fund. There's a personnel assistant trainee for 12.2, fringes for $1,200, and professional services for $16,500, which is, I believe, yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe. Say it louder. Challenge industries, right?
Okay. Discussion? Dooley.
This is a one-time expense. Does personnel have rollover available?
There's a line at the bottom that it would not affect the personnel department's 2012. And Joe is shaking his head. No, go ahead, Joe.
I think they've exhausted rollover.
Yeah.
I'll double check. I don't want to tell you something that isn't accurate, but
it's not enough to cover the
rollover.
Well, it seems reasonable to use whatever rollover there is and then take the rest out of contingent fund if you have to. So is there a way to make that an understanding in here?
It won't be acceptable to me, so.
Is that the budget book? Jonathan, is that this year's budget book right there? Would that have it?
It is. And Joe is our expert at finding the correct page.
Well, I have another question.
Okay, go ahead.
In the first, whereas, it refers to an online application / exam process, which, in my view, has nothing whatsoever to do with this resolution. I think it should be struck, and it should just begin, whereas in order to transfer from a paper filing system to LaserFiche, an electronic filing system currently in use. So I would ask, I'll move to strike that first one and reword the second whereas, because that's what the resolution is about.
Is that a motion, or are you asking, is that friendly?
Well, then? I'll ask if it's friendly. Yes, I'm so tired. Yes, is it friendly?
Jim?
Let me see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, Brian?
trying to find it.
We're in the budget.
Packet, page 26.
Is it 24 or 23?
First where?
Kathy, did you get Dooley's change? We don't know what you said, Dooley.
Yeah, they don't have any.
Strike the first whereas and then the second whereas, in order to transfer from a paper filing system, et cetera.
Strike the first whereas altogether?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm doing two things here. Mike and I were looking at the budget book. Take the whole first whereas out.
Okay, and then the second one says, in order to transfer from. Okay, Joe?
Okay, but I do want the legislature to know this is a part of a process that began with the online application system, which is intended to make it a paperless office. So this is another piece of that, so there is a context. With respect to the rollover, they've exhausted rollover, so there's nothing available on rollover.
In either year.
They've applied. In 2012, you've already approved the last $2,400 of what they have. There's nothing left for 2012 or 13. And rollover.
Thank you.
Wait.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I think it was.
So yes. Wait, if we're taking out the whole first whereas, we start the second whereas, the next step in the process?
Whereas in order to transfer from a paper filing system to LaserFiche.
Thank you.
Are we ready to vote on that revised resolution? I need a short form roll call.
Thank you. Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. Thank you. Anything else, Jim?
Yes. As I announced last evening, we are having the budget forum October 9th, 7 p.m. in our new home in the old courthouse on the second floor. The expanded budget committee meetings proceed, and there are a few more to go, and a voting meeting. We've scheduled the voting meeting, and, just stay tuned. And I think the whole process has moved quite well. Our budget book has more information than it's had in 5 years, and, I think it's really easy to access and use.
Thank you, Jim. Carol?
Can you just say the dates of the voting meetings? Do you have them?
I think 23rd.
25th. October 23rd, 25th, and October 30th.
Yeah. We have three scheduled.
So
I frankly am thinking that I don't believe we will have to have three meetings, but we have three scheduled.
And so then are the ones that were scheduled for the 15th, the 17th?
No, I don't know when they were scheduled.
Totally
23, 28, and 30, right?
25. 23, 25, and 30
are the voting meetings.
Yeah.
Okay, but we originally had some voting meetings scheduled the October 15th, 17th.
Carol, I just answered you. I don't know where they were. They were never agreed upon.
The only meetings.
Okay. The meetings we have are the ones that were just said.
That's what I want to know. Thank you. In fact, the public wants to know too. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim. Public Safety Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
I have nothing additional to report. As usual, we'll have our next meeting. As usual, our next meeting will be the first Wednesday at 11 o'clock in October.
Thank you, Peter. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie Lipping, Claiborne Chair.
Thank you, and thank all of you, my colleagues, for passing the resolution earlier that you did. We are continuing to do good work in trying to change our conversation around diversity and inclusion. WDIC will be meeting on the 26th, that's next Wednesday, at 3:30, the old jail conference room. We will be hopefully passing and sending on to budget and then to this legislature our diversity policy for the county. We've been working on it. And we're also beginning to do some, in a subgroup, some work on disability accommodations, especially for our public who watch your meetings, want to participate, etc. The other thing we have on our agenda that we will be talking about, as we realize over the last few years what are our accountability measures or what are our expectations. It wasn't accountability measures, more expectations for RFPs and RFQs and funding agencies that we fund, departments and agencies that we fund. What are our expectations when we ask for information around their diversity and inclusion efforts? As you recall, I'm always asking, you know, what did people respond or what did we ask about and where are their responses, not just your standard statement that we do have an EEO statement, but more what have people been doing. So we'll be continuing our discussion on that and hopefully having some draft language that we can suggest to the county to be used when we are moving in that direction to issue bids or accept proposals. So the 26th we'll be meeting and having a spirited discussion.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Any questions? All right, Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee met quite a few of the resolutions that we dealt with tonight on the board agenda, or the legislative agenda, have been taken care of. Thank you for your patience and help on the bath salts issue. Our new mental health commissioner, Sue, reported that there was an inpatient forum held, New York Care Coalition Project, that took place recently. In it, a lot of the providers came together with some of the patients to determine what they needed for support, what they needed as outpatients as they transitioned. And Sue indicated that it was very, very successful. They hope to continue that again. We did also, and you acted on it already, authorized to amend a capital program to accommodate the health department's request for the implementation of that environmental health permit management program. You heard about it last night at the budget meeting. I want to give you the same update I gave the committee about the smoke issue and what direction we gave the health department through Frank Krupa. The things in the city are the individuals that are working on it in the city, Cynthia Brock and Chris Pro. Chris has put together a newsletter or is enhancing a newsletter that the city puts out on information. And Cynthia was gathering other information, meeting with the fire department and the police department to determine enforcement. Because the subcommittee that Martha asked to come together, in order for the county to really do something, we would have to amend the sanitary code. We're not in a position to do that. We have not done it. And we gave direction to Frank Krupa that he and his department are going to have to continue along the same lines that they have been and recommend any type of discussion among the participants who have a problem with smoke in the city, perhaps going to CDRC as one group did or was supposed to. Cooperative Extension was another educational piece. Cooperative Extension is putting out a Learn to Burn Heating with Wood workshop. And they're willing to meet and come out, I know. This is show and tell. They're willing to work with individuals that have had a problem, but we had to give Frank Krupa's department some clear direction about what they could and could not do. They have to stay within the parameters of the sanitary code, at least for this next heating season. In addition to that, again, another show and tell item. You know that we received a falls prevention grant through Lisa Holmes and through the Health Planning Council. One of the things that they did was they put together a packet of information that includes the Medicaid guide, Medicare guide, falls prevention information, and night lights and whatnot. And they're giving these out through the Health Planning Council, Food Net, Office for the Aging, Lifelong. My understanding is that they put together about 500 of these, and they're already distributed because falls prevention, or falls, is the most critical thing that some of these folks are fearful of. There's a falls prevention fair and summit set up for the 28th of September at Titus Towers. You're all invited. Get a hold of Lisa Holmes if you'd like to come. This is going to be a nice affair for individuals in the community. The on our trip to NYSAC on Thursday, one of the booths that I was pleased to see was the PROACT booth, the one the folks that put together our insurance program with Joe and Marcia's help. The two individuals that came to the committee to make that pitch and presentation that we worked with were both there. And a compliment to our staff, Marcia. They were very pleased with the way it's been received in our community and very supportive of all the work that you and folks of administration have done. It's been very successful so far. CHAZ. The latest information that I have is that there isn't any information. The downstate groups, as I reported the last time, tentatively they've approved 14, and they were supposed to review earlier this month the remaining upstate in CHAZ, the ones that had applied for licenses and for being present in various counties. The word that I have, and we think it's we hope it's a rumor, is that they are not going to act on any upstate CHAZ. We're trying to verify that. I asked Frank that last night to see if he could do a little backtracking. It could be a very serious concern. None of the ones on the list that I saw last Friday addressed Tompkins County. There wasn't one. So we don't know what the official status is on CHAZ, but right now Visiting Nurse Service is trying to handle all of the ones that they can. And it was reported also that the care transitions referrals have started to really move from the hospital into the community. And that program is going very well. I did have a call into Lisa to see if she had a take on that. But this is a program that you folks approved some months ago, and it's been very well received. Last item that I have, the hospital dinner a Saturday or two back went very well. Some of you were recognized as supporters of health care in the community. So I just wanted to let you know that, Rob is retiring at the end of this year, and John Rudd will be the new hospital administrator. Our next committee meeting, we're going to proceed the public budget presentation. Will be a warm-up act for Jim's act on October 9th. So the Health Committee will meet at 3:30 on that day. I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. Peter?
Frank, can you tell us quickly why you decided not to to amend the code regarding smoke?
To amend the sanitary code.
The sanitary code, yeah.
When we did that, whenever we do it, you have to go back and it's a process. You can't just do it by a committee vote. There has to be a Board of Health review, and usually I was on the Board of Health the last time we did it, and they appoint a special committee. Will is on the Board of Health representing us right now. You'd have to form a special committee. Usually what they do is form a special committee of the Board of Health to review the issue, to determine whether they want to amend the code or not. And then there's a series of public hearings that you have to go through before you do anything. And the last time we did it, it was quite time-consuming. We tried to do it a couple of years ago. If you remember, maybe you weren't on the board at that point, Peter. I'm sorry. We tried to incorporate water well testing, and we had quite a proposal that came out of the Board of Health for well testing. And this board did not pass it. So it was... It's quite a process to do. It's not impossible, but it would take some homework and some committee work. Beyond the health committee, it would be the Board of Health that would have to be involved.
So if one thought that was a serious problem, what should someone do?
Right now,
is it over now? Or?
No, well, right now, if anyone has a concern, if it's reported as... We had two incidents in the city. It involved four neighbors. They should call the health department, have them investigate it, and if there is a need to take it further than that, there could be an action brought if somebody's in violation. Most of the time, what the health department is finding, and our health department personnel was exhaustive in going up and examining these complaints. But they're not an enforcement body, and that's where it stops. They can only advise. They're going to use cooperative extension because of the material. Cooperative extension really has quite a bit of material on it. And cooperative extension, I think it was, Pam, wasn't it up on Grandview Court that cooperative extension went in and helped people understand, you know, dry wood versus wet wood? How do you...
I thought it was South Hill Terrace.
South Hill Terrace, but it was on South Hill. That's as far as we can take it. There was an incident on the Coddington Road in the town of Ithaca. And that individual chose to go to the DEC, and the DEC advised that person would have to institute a lawsuit against their neighbor. Most people are reluctant to do that. They want the county to act as their legal advisor or legal enforcement arm, and we're not empowered to do that.
Pam?
Well, Frank, I guess I'm a little confused because, and maybe you folks talked about this and took action at your committee, because I had thought that we weren't at the point where we would try and make changes to the sanitary code, but I did think that we were going to investigate what other places have done to deal with this problem.
Yeah, Cynthia Brock, you had looked at, I think it was the Connecticut, some town in Connecticut, and Cynthia gathered some information from San Francisco.
Right,
unfortunately, the committee, there was not another meeting set up. The last meeting you and I attended was the last one that I knew of where the minutes finally came out of that. There was finally, you have a heart of gold for putting those together, but I understood that Kathy Herrera had asked if Cornell could do a review on how do you determine an inversion, because there was some concern about weather patterns in the city of Ithaca, and the Cornell meteorologist indicated, at least the email I saw, that it was a virtual impossibility to predict some of those things, and by the time they were predicted, they were over.
But just to get back to what I was saying, I mean, I certainly think that I don't know how the health department could do this, but it seems as if they might have access to some sort of Googling effort or, you know, in terms of public health, sanitary codes from, you know, that they might be able to at least pull out some other examples of sanitary codes where this issue is dealt with. Anyway, but we don't need to talk about that here. But I just was concerned that if the committee did the committee actually make a decision not to do this, move forward with this anymore? I mean, the Health and Human Services
that
committee?
Subcommittee with the city folks.
Subcommittee with the city?
No. I'm talking about the Health and Human Services. It just sounded like at the Health and Human Services Committee meeting that you all decided that you weren't going to do anything else.
No,
I misunderstood.
Frank Krupa approached me earlier this month and said, we're coming into the heating season, my staff needs some direction as to how we handle this. At the committee meeting, I had Michelle send an email out to the four committee, you, Kathy, Chris, Cynthia, to gather any information and whatever the understanding was, because I wanted to bring it to the health committee earlier this month. We received no responses whatsoever. The direction that we gave Frank at the committee, at the health committee, was to proceed under the existing sanitary code and do the best you can within the parameters of the sanitary code. It doesn't mean we can't look at...
No, of course. That's fine. And that's fine. We can talk about this.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much. I know that's a tough issue, and
it
we
is.
Appreciate your work on that. Okay. All right. Anything else for Frank? Motion on the September 4th minutes of this body. Moved by Pam, seconded by Pat. Comments, suggestions? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That passes with two opposed. Motion to adjourn. Moved by Will, seconded by Peter. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.